But I've not.
Yeah, yeah, it's a catch 22, but it's just on my way here now, just reflecting a little bit. And to play Melbourne City and Brisbane in a fortnight and take 4 points, it is, on reflection, very good. But to be leading and then concede to draw is also difficult to take. But I think when we wake up tomorrow, a point will be very, very content with that at this stage of the season.
Show where the club's heading now. You finally feel like you've turned the corner after that 12-week spell or 11-week spell or whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, there's no one that watches the games back then more than myself, and to see the chances we missed and the decisions that went our way and didn't go our way, more like it. So now that we're playing as a collective and playing with a passion that warrants Newcastle and what they demand, the technical side of it's starting to come together as well, and I'm liking the relationships I'm seeing out in the field, and I think Leonardo's impact in the team helps. And when you buy a visa player and you purchase Labino Heliti to play a part and you lose both of them for up to 12 weeks, it's always going to be a big problem for us. But I think overall the team warrants the efforts and commitment they're giving to reward themselves with a point tonight.
Scott, were you proud of your side's solid defensive performance in the second half?
I must say I've been proud with them pretty much all year. They haven't let me down too often, and more importantly, they haven't let themselves down. But when they have found it challenging, they haven't stepped away from the challenge whatsoever, and they've maintained the belief that, you know, we're in a stage where it's our responsibility to maximise the opportunities that we see and take points. And it's no excuse given the situation the club was in when we first took over and the instability. So without all the support of the majority of other clubs, and Brisbane know that, just like us as well, without all that support, it's good to see us picking up points and competing at that level.
Got some games coming up against teams that are in and around you. I mean, you have the habit of doing well against the better teams, so to speak, but the teams in and around you you've struggled against.
Yeah, we need to find that balance. That's going to be vital for where we end up at the end of the season. To lose against the teams in and around us will be vital. You know, vitally important that we turn those situations around, and especially at home. We have to really focus on the home form and continue that along with last week. But the Central Coast and Perth's and Wellington games coming up in the next, you know, three or four weeks will be very interesting, and one we have to remain focused to.
Scott, you were just saying on the TV after the game, the Corey Brownham ball, did you sort of hint that you think it should have been a send-off?
I mean, listen, your emotion says that, but I don't want any play being sent off. I'd rather 11 competing against 11 at the end of the day, and us fighting it out for the points, which has occurred. So I can't really comment. The referee made his decision. We got the reward of the penalty, and that's as far as it goes.
Mitch Cooper came up at half time. Was that a pure injury or?
No, it was purely physical. I think the demands of his output last week, which was one of his best games that I've seen Mitch play, and I've reviewed all last year's performances as well. I think he played very well last week and took to the task very well. I think it was a physical thing, short turnaround. You know, a young person suffered two horrendous injuries in his career, so that sort of that volume of work is a challenge for him. So it was certainly not anything to do with his tactical or technical approach of the game.
You were happy with his performance? It's his first goal in almost 3 years.
Yeah, for sure. You know, structurally, inside the near post, opposite striker. So structurally, he's taken on the information and he got the reward for it. It was a great finish. I think Enver's assist, it was a well-worked move, and, you know, Mitch found himself in the right spot.
You had high hopes for him at the start of the season, but it's taken a long time to get into the side.
Yeah, I think it comes down to when you have two ACL injuries, you lose 2 years of your life, you know, not only technically and tactically, but physically. And the demands of the game have only improved since the time he's been out. So it's not as if the game stood still in terms of the output physically, it's only increased. So he's finding himself having to work even harder off the training ground and do extra conditioning work to get himself up to base level. And that's always going to be the challenge.
When you cop that first goal, there's a chance the team could put their heads down, but Calvin in particular, I guess, stood up, as well as Mike Rigetti again, was very good.
It was not negotiable. We have to do that. I mean, if you stop playing against Brisbane in the first 8 to 10 minutes, it's game over. By 15 minutes, 3-0 down, so we couldn't do that. And we didn't come here to fall over simply by giving a penalty away. If we're going to lose tonight, we would have actually lost with our heads set high and with a credibility of performance. And as I said, now that I'm talking to you for the last 3 to 5 minutes, I think on reflection, points are superb. A superb way to end the evening, because that's for certain. Brisbane's got a fantastic squad here, and they'll only get stronger as the season goes, that's for sure.
Stop Cooper again. Do you think he could be a big player for you sort of going forward? He's only 21.
Anyone can think. It's up to him. The way he looks after himself away from the training ground, the extra work he's willing to put in, and his own desire. Is he willing and able to go to the next level, that's up to him and his own mentality.
He has the tools, though.
Listen, he's technically a good player, but unfortunately for a lot of footballers in Australia, it's getting quicker and stronger, and the more powerful athletes coming into play. And not only power, but technically and tactically, they're improving as well. So I'm very happy with the way the A-League's going. So these players need to be very intelligent in their approach to their football. And if you don't have the pace and power, it's football intelligence. So it's not just about the physical conditioning. It's about his overall awareness of the tactics and implementing them.
All right, gentlemen.
Okay, Jets fans, it's another edition of the Jets Stream Extra. I'm a little bit hoarse. We've been cheering our voice out. It's me, David. We've just seen the Newcastle Jets draw 2-2 with Brisbane Roar, despite leading 2-1 at halftime. I'm here with sometimes contributor to the Jets Stream Extra, Michael. Michael, what do you have to say for this?
I'm a long-time listener, first-time streamer. It's good to be on. Yeah, mate, look. We've got a result tonight, and that's probably the most positive thing, but with the chances we had, you might be thinking more, but at the same time, Brisbane had their chances as well. So maybe a point on the night was the right result.
Mark Birighitti, very early. The Jets conceded a penalty by Nick Calburn on Jack Ingott. Mark Birighitti saved the ensuing penalty. Unlucky that it bounced back straight to Jamie McLaren to tap in.
Yeah, mate, that really unlucky. And to be honest, Birighitti did a great job to pick the same way that McLaren went. Unfortunately, didn't work out. But to be fair to the team, in a long time, they actually fought back very well to get the lead before half-time.
That's got to be encouraging to be able to score two goals after conceding the first very early on.
Yeah, I'd agree 100%. They played excellent after that. The front four really worked well together. It was actually fantastic to see Mitch Cooper score his first goal. I'm spewing because I had him to score the first goal, not the second goal. It would have been good for my sports bets balance, but I'll take that. So, yeah, very encouraging.
Thoughts on the Jets in the second half, mate? We struggled to capitalise on any chances, and the Brisbane Roar basically dominated possession.
Yeah, they did, mate. And look, when you're 2-1 up at Brisbane, good team with the ball, you've got to drop back. And I think they did the right thing by dropping back. Unfortunately, they scored a lucky goal, in my opinion, because if Ember hadn't got a touch, it wouldn't have gone in. But hey, look, that happens. And that's what it is. I'm just happy we got the point, and the boys played fantastic tonight. They really do deserve their credit.
Disappointing that, I guess, late on, they just had an opportunity to put that very last corner of the match into the box, but they decided not to. They decided to play it short.
Yeah, mate, they did. And look, at that time of the game, they should be pressing it. They should be playing into the box. It didn't happen. I was cranky. You probably saw me cranky, but look, that happens, and we'll move on. They'll be better for that. And look, two massive games coming up, home at Wellington next week, and then the big one at Coast Away. So everything to look forward to.
Okay, boys, thanks for joining us, mate. We're about to clap the team, so thanks for joining me.
Thanks, mate. Go the boys.
Okay, we're back and we're now joined by Joel. Joel, disappointing result after leading 2-1.
Yeah, it was disappointing not to hang on to that lead, but, you know, I feel like there was just an absolute onslaught in that second half from Brisbane, and I think we were lucky to escape, to be honest. They outplayed us. They played rings around us. They were bloody good tonight, Brisbane.
What were your thoughts on the penalty early on? Tough decision or the right call?
To be honest, it looked like it was a fairly solid hit on Calburn there. I don't know if it was intentional, but he hit him pretty hard. So Beers did amazing to save it, but palmed it the wrong way, and it's just unfortunate.
So I guess you spoke earlier about the Jets surviving, I guess, an onslaught from Brisbane Roar in the second half. Is there anything we can take away from that?
Look, I think we gave them too much room on the ball, and then we weren't pressing. We were, and you have to be worried against an attack like that. You have to defend. I don't know what the lesson is, to be honest.
Okay. Mitch Cooper managed to score his first goal tonight, but went off. Do you know anything about what's happened with him? But it's certainly concerning for the Jets. He's been playing well.
Yeah, I mean, it's the second game where he's had a start, and that's very different to the first 17 games of the season where he didn't get a start except for one against Melbourne City on the 30th of October. Yeah, look, I'm not sure why he went off, but he'd be stoked to score his debut goal for the season. And, you know, good luck to him. It'll give him a lot of confidence, and we'll see where Miller takes it from here.
Good turnout from the away supporters tonight.
Yeah, the boys the boys were in full pun. I won't say they're in full voice, but they're in full pun. We had a lot of fun. And, you know, the chant came out when the corners went up. And I just think in that last minute, we had a great chance, a one-on-one, and it just didn't come off, but it could have been miraculous.
All right, mate. Thank you very much for joining us on the Jetstream Extra.
Go to the Jets.
Okay, Jets fans, thanks very much for this week. We'll leave it there, and we'll join you after the match against Wellington next week and join you during the week as well. Cheers.
Okay, guys, welcome back for Jetstream Plus. That's the new name that we've just...
Jetstream on the red button.
Yeah, Jetstream on the red button. So we've just wrapped up the recording with the 50th episode with Griff.
The Grifftacular.
We didn't get to some of the Facebook questions, but it's important. We really appreciate everyone's input. So we thought we'd all stick around for 10 minutes and answer some of the questions. So the first question is from Ricky Taylor, and we touched on this in the main pod. What players do we think should have their contracts renewed, and who should be terminated and why? So, Bodes, we'll start with you, mate. What do you think?
On the not-to-be-signed list that I would definitely renew, Birigetti. At this point, Daniel Mullen. Jason Hoffman. I think, actually, he probably might have been before Birigetti thinking about it now.
Daniel Mullen signed up for next year as well.
Oh, he signed up next year. Apologies.
Watson?
So not Cameron Watson.
I guess the list includes the likes of Cam Watson, Trifunovic, Leonardo, Enver Livadic, Watson, Jason Hoffman.
So obviously Hoffman and Birigetti definitely. I would say Kanarowski, but we've touched on it in the pod. I think Kanarowski needs to move on to better his career. So if you want a reason for a player why they shouldn't be terminated, I would say Ben Kanarowski should have his terminated to benefit his career.
Ferns, what do you think?
I'd agree with pretty much all of those. I don't know if we get enough value for money from Enver, so I'd probably let him go and look to sign an Australian bloke who performs the same job. So I'd be looking. We've got Mitch Cooper for another 12 months. So do we look at trying to spend that money that we would be spending on we'd try and get a different import to play a number 10? Obviously, if that doesn't work out, we've still got Cooper as a backup. But, yeah, I'd pretty much agree with most of what Bodie said. Definitely not re-sign Watson. Definitely. I don't think we need Enver. Definitely re-sign Biros. Definitely re-sign Hoffman. Trifunovic, I think, it's all going to be down to how he performs in the next couple of games. I think if he gets over double figures, I think that's probably a good indicator that he, even with the crap service he's had, I think he's still performed pretty well. I think he probably deserves another season. So it all depends how much money they're on. So whether the club thinks we're getting value for money for the money we're paying Trifo, you know, that's obviously only a call they're going to make. So can we sign him for another 12 months on a similar deal or a little bit less money? If they think that's value for money, then go right ahead. But it just depends. I think it'll all come down to money. But, I mean, we're not using the entire cap anyway, so there's some players there that we could probably re-sign that we could throw a little bit more money at. But I would be keeping... Obviously, we've also got the 80 grand for David Carney as well. So you'd think... And, obviously, it would also depend on Nordstrand as well. So he's another one, which is obviously he's out of contract because he's only on six. So look at... See how Trifo and Nordstrand... Because early signs are that partnership looked really good. So if that continues, I would probably re-sign both of them. Let Leo go because he's just not. I think his injuries are just too much of an unknown quantity.
I thought I was going to be controversial saying that. That's what I was going to come in and say. Everyone's going to go, but yeah, no, I'd let Leo go.
No,
I have Leo is my definite let go, and Hoffman is my definite keep.
But counterpoint to that, if Leo remains fit for the rest of the season,
no.
Even then?
No. Okay. He's been too inconsistent.
When he plays,
he's great.
Two games off.
Or when he plays and he plays well, he's great. But sometimes his head's just not in it. The ABC radio, again, awesome quote, said, Leonardo is really great when he gets the ball. It's a pity he doesn't look like he wants it more often. And to me, that's Leonardo's season. So, yeah.
Okay. Next question is from Ryan Stanmore. What sort of influence do we think that JP... is having on the team? So that's John Paul Demarini, for those unsure. is having on the team regarding tactics, selections and recruitment. Waspy.
I think just him in the background, just, well, he was there when the club first started, so he knows what the city's all about, what the fans want and everything. And just, I think, yeah, he has a lot to do with sort of all the background thing. Like Scotty's obviously a new coach coming into it sort of thing, so I think he's helping him out in that. But, yeah.
He's certainly a level and experienced head that I think is bringing his defensive nous to the team, and he's a very tactical coach.
He had a lot of success down in Melbourne, so he's probably brought that up here as well. So.
Bose, do you just, final point, do you want to add anything more to that?
Yeah, Perth aside, I think the defensive has definitely improved. Like, I think the work he's doing with not only Bugard and Mullen, but Lachlan Jackson, Nick Cowburn and Jason Hoffman is obviously visible. I think Jason Hoffman has become an A-League right back this year. I think the last couple of years at Melbourne City, he was potential to be an A-League right back. I would call him an A-League right back as of now. And I think JP has a big part to do with that.
Cool. Next question is from Ricky Taylor. And I think we might leave this one till the end of the season, is our opinion on Scott Miller's first season in charge. Given it's only now two-thirds of the way through the season, and we haven't played every team at least twice. We've still got to play the Mariners again. We've still got to play Perth again. I'm personally, and we're playing Brisbane again this weekend for the second time, I'm a bit reluctant to make that call. Do you guys think that's fair?
No, I'd be willing to put a comment on him now.
Okay.
I think as a coach, he has truly proven himself in just the last 3 weeks. The ability to change the tactics against Wellington Phoenix, I think we were screaming on here for weeks saying, he's got to change it, he's got to change it. Look, it takes a big man to go ahead and change the tactic you put in place at the start of the year, and he did it. And look, at the moment, it's, I think, what is it, 2 wins, 2 losses. We weren't, 6 weeks ago, we weren't having that record. So, and also, too, I think he's handling of the Carney situation. I didn't agree with the way the club handled it, but I thought the way he handled it was fantastic. So, yeah, I think at this point in time, if you compare it to last year, it's a success. And look, I think he will only build as a coach. I just hope that we have some good results to end the year, and then he gets free rein in the off season.
Does anyone else want to add anything to
that? I would probably wait another couple of weeks before making a definitive assessment of him, because I think it's too early to tell, with the players that he brought in January and the players that he got rid of, that early signs are good. Obviously, we've waxed lyrical about Stevie UG and Nordstrom coming in. And Bodie with the obligatory raising of the eyebrows. They obviously, the first game and a half, they've looked really good, but I need to see that on a consistent basis to basically then be able to definitively say Scott knows the players he wants, he knows the players that are going to fit his system, and they're the players he wants to bring in. Because I still think, regardless of what all the other people say on Facebook and all the other social media channels and on the forums, I think Scott is still hamstrung to a large extent by all the crap left over that Stubbins and Tinkler signed. We had to offer those players like-for-like contracts, and it was up to the players to leave. And those players that weren't going to get contracts anywhere else were the ones that stayed. So it's going to be interesting to see how just two players help us perform between now and the end of the season. And if we end up drawing or getting points from most of these games between now and the end, I think we'll end up finishing pretty close to the top six, and then it's going to be interesting to see whether that's going to be enough for any new owners that come in to give him a chance to actually be able to get rid of some of these players he won't want, because obviously we do have a few players, like we've said, coming off contract. It's going to be interesting to see what players he gets rid of and what players he brings in.
Okay. I guess we touched on the next question from Jared Hobson in the main pod, which is our thoughts on the new squadron position behind the goals. And is it going to attract any more active support? Emma, do you want to add something to that?
I do want to add something to that. I think what the squadron should consider doing is not making that spot behind their goals the permanent location, because I know you don't get the best view from there and you've got all the rules.
We never watch the game anyway. The view doesn't matter.
But you've got all the rules with the, being a general admission area. I'm not sure you're going to get that past the FFA. But what I would like to see would be do occasional games there to give people the taster, use that as a, hey, everyone come in and get a look at squadron life, and then go back to a bay where you can do everything you want to do the way you want to do it. And that way people get to see that, like you said, it's not a closed shop. Mm. And they get to see that it's not actually scary to be in there and that it is a fun place to be. So I would suggest trying that kind of strategy. But I would like to commend the squadron for doing it. And I think it was great the way you communicated it to the non-squadron supporters. And I think that really paid off. So good work to you guys.
Okay, I'll go. I think the best thing for us is going to be at the end of the year, whether it be at the end of us playing in a finals game or end of the season when we don't make the finals, is to continue the open feel and say, right, we've been in Bay 2, we've been in Bay 60, we've now been on the hill.
What's the best option?
What do you like the most? And it should always be what the larger consensus wants. And we can also go further than that, saying, okay, on the hill, we didn't have the mega or the drum.
Is that a better option?
Is that a better option? So we've just got to, appease the mass. And look, at the end of the day, not everyone's going to be happy. I personally loved the hill. I thought it was great on the weekend. It definitely was it was the same refresh when we first moved to Bay 60. That's what it felt like.
Mm.
So look, the end of the year we could have 10 people back on the hill again and it might be the exact same spot again. So yeah, it's all going to come. I think we just need to keep pushing for the end of the year, keep trialing back the hill, and then at the end of the year we need to sit down and make a decision.
Look, I'll say as someone who's not a member of the squadron that I thought that it was much clearer to hear you guys in the bay behind the goals this week. You're certainly assisted by the wind, which was excellent, but the noise coming from it and the feel that it generated, there was a lot of involvement from surrounding areas in the bay that I'm in the Western Grandstand. So, well done, guys.
The same thing happened in the Eastern Grandstand. I've got members who have been sitting around me for 4 years who have never said boo to a goose, and then suddenly this game, they were yelling out, they were heckling, they were doing the claps and the chants, and I was like, where did this come from? And it was being able to hear the squadron that it came from. So,
okay.
Cool.
Wasby, I'll put this one to you. What scenario would lead the Jets to have a finals berth? You know, how many games are we looking to need to have to win or draw? And given Perth and Adelaide's current form, how likely is that? That's from Joel Goodsir. And I guess just to help you, mate, Adelaide are currently in the six on 27 points. We're in eighth position on 19 points, so we're 8 points behind.
With a horrendously difficult goal difference, too.
We're minus 12 to plus 3, so there's a 15 goal difference.
Well, how many games left to go? What?
Nine.
Well,
nine or eight?
Nine. Well, who do we play? What? Central Coast?
We've got six away games and three home games.
We've got Central Coast.
Two Central Coast games.
Yep.
We've got
Brisbane twice.
We've got
Perth Wellington twice.
Wellington, Sydney.
We don't have the hardest run to the end
we
of the
don't
season.
Have the hardest run with coming
What's
up
the other
against
home game?
Central Coast,
Wellington.
Where we have to get
Wellington,
points
Western
against
Sydney.
Them.
Wellington, Perth, Western Sydney. Yep.
We have to get points against Wellington. It's as simple as that. It's a home game. They're riddled with injuries at the moment. We have to get points. We have to win both games against Central Coast. But I'm not too sure about Perth. Like, I think it'll be...
I think we have to win that too.
I think we have to win the two of them. Go to Perth and win.
Well, to go to Perth and win, we've done that once. That's like almost the impossible. Like we talked about statistics and in the back of your head or whatever, it just does not happen. I think... I don't have high hopes for this season.
Like, forever seventh.
So even if we do win those three, we get 15, take 15 points from those matches. Mm. We're then still 7 points ahead of Adelaide, who are looking. That's two wins and a draw, essentially for them because they have the goal difference, which is as good as a point. I think it's going to be a struggle.
I think it would be more with looking at Perth there. What Adelaide are in what the top six at the moment, and Perth are what seventh. Mm. I'd be more worried about Perth coming in with those new signings that they will shoot up the ladder or whatever. They can go on and win. Who have they got this week? Who do we had?
They've got, I think they're in
Sydney.
Sydney and Perth.
Sydney and Perth.
Yeah, they're playing Sydney.
I think the team, if we're going to catch anyone, is Sydney. I honestly think that Sydney are shambles.
They're on a downhill run.
Yeah.
Sydney are a point ahead of Adelaide.
Yeah. So.
With a goal difference of 5.
I don't think the run to the finals is what matters right now. I think what they've got to salvage now is getting enough quality of play to get the fans back on side. Yeah. Mm. I don't think anyone's daydreaming about finals, really. Yeah. If it happens, okay, it'll be great.
Unbelievable.
But we're relying on the right people to lose. So to me, it has to be our performances that matters, not the numbers game.
We need to go back a couple of weeks ago, like I said, and beat Perth and Adelaide because they were that stretch of Wellington, Perth and Adelaide were the three key games.
And like I said, the first time I was here, when we invent time machine football, Jets are all over it.
Yeah, what's going to kill us is all the away games with only 3 home games. We're not a guarantee of winning anyway. Yeah, no, I realise that, but we never win, and we haven't won since season 3. Yeah. So
this is our year, fans.
I'm crossing my fingers.
It dead set is our year. We are going to win there this year.
Got it.
Yep. Matt Beckwai Millers, can Newcastle win 3 in a row, or is that a pipe dream lost to time, Grant?
I don't think we're consistent enough to win 3 in a row. I think we can possibly win 1 and draw 2. Maybe even at a stretch, draw 2 and win 1, but I can't see us winning. It'd have to be a monumental turnaround in form and confidence for us to do that. I think we're going to be good until the end of the season, but I don't think we're going to be that good.
Okay. Last question from Gavin Austin, who I blame for not being able to see Hoffy win the penalty for us. Thank you very much, Gavin. Now the FFA have started to further remove exclusivity agreements with sponsors. What impact do you see this having on the league and, of course, the Jets?
Well, it could be sponsored by Jetstar. It would be just as shit.
The RAF could sponsor us.
They're struggling with that contamination. So,
well, I mean, it'd get, and the thing is, like, you look at all the
maybe others, we can get full strength beer at the stadium.
Well, that'd be nice, but that's up to West. So that's not West's place. That's going to be good for us and for everybody in the long run, I think, because I think the exclusivity agreements with the sponsors has stifled the sponsorship opportunities in the league, and especially with the Jets, because there was apparently a number of opportunities we've had over the last 11 years where we could have signed sponsors that conflicted with the FFA and the A-League sponsors, so it can only be good for everybody.
I guess we're coming more in line with international leagues.
Excellent.
It's all advertising, so, you know, Toyota and Ford and Holden aren't going to care that Hyundai is the sponsor of the A-League.
The FFA should never hold back their club, other clubs, making an income stream from something else. That's exactly what they're doing. They're holding back an income stream.
Yeah, but that was to maximise their own income streams because they didn't have any money.
And at the end of the day, the licences, in the long run, are theirs. If something goes wrong, the licence is back in their hands sort of thing, so why would they risk that?
True.
All right.
Is that all the questions?
That's all the questions. Thank you very much for everyone who contributed on Twitter. Again, I'll put the call out that if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, you're more than welcome to get in touch with us. We don't bite.
That's how I got here. I just started commenting on Twitter and now I come a lot.
It is that easy. So thank you very much, guys, for sticking around. And Emma. Sorry, I just got generally.
I can be a guy.
Thank you, everyone, for sticking around.
Thank you, Dave.
All right. Yeah. See you next week. Bye.
Ciao.